Well, praise the Lord and greetings to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to worship with us here at Mount Calvary Miracle Temple Apostolic Church, where our pastor is the Honorable District Elder Johnny Magnus. Please enjoy the wonderful Word of God. God bless you.
Well, praise the Lord to you. This is Minister James Pope from Mount Calvary Miracle Temple Apostolic Church, where our pastor is Suffragan Bishop Johnny Magnus. And we're doing something a little bit unique. We are changing it up just a tad bit. And that is during the week, you know, normally we have our Tuesday night Bible classes, and that is normally at 7 p.m. Central Time. And then the next service that Mount Calvary normally has is a Friday night prayer service, which lately has just been through phone. So you have a gap between Tuesday and Friday, leaving Wednesday and Thursday in between. And so we thought it'd be a good idea to start implementing maybe a little Bible study or a Bible class. And right now, we don't really have a fixed or an established time, so you never know what to expect. There could be one of our classes or one of our Bible studies in between Tuesday and Friday, or there could be about two or three different ones. But we're certainly excited by what's going on in Mount Calvary. Won't you bow your heads with me in a word of prayer? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask you to bless somebody who's listening this evening. Lord, we ask that you open up somebody's understanding. Help us, Father, to grow closer to you. Help us to learn who you are in a deeper and more meaningful way. Help us, Lord, to realize who you are, to worship you the way that you want us to worship you, Lord, and to live the way that you'd have us to live. Help us, Lord, to repent and grow according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what do we talk about tonight? A couple housekeeping things. Why do I have on these? You know, lately I've been very sensitive concerning the sound. I want to get it just right. And it seems like the only way that I can make sure that the sound quality is up to par is if I'm listening in real time. So I'm able to listen in real time so I know that it's not too much static or we don't have too much volume, and hopefully it's just right. The way that I'm hearing it right now is perfect. So if that's being conveyed in the way that I'm listening to it, then we shouldn't have any problems this evening. Just have a short little Bible class. I guess you'd call it a Bible study. That'll be this evening. So let me, hold on a minute. Okay. So let me call your attention to Acts, the first chapter, verse number 8. And I love this passage of scripture because what's going on right now is this is after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, so Jesus has already been crucified. He's already been buried in the sepulchre. He was already resurrected, and he came back to his disciples. He came back to them to let them know what they needed to do. Okay, so this is right before that Pentecost event. This is right before Pentecost or the fullness of Pentecost. And Jesus is talking to the disciples. So let's see what Jesus is saying. But ye, whenever we read in King James literature, ye just means you or you all, depending on the context, right? He could be talking about, it could be talking about one individual, or it could be talking about other groups of people. But in this case, he's talking about the group of people here. But you and shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Let me read that again. But ye shall receive power. Okay? So if you're familiar with the Greek, you know the base word for that's in dunamis is also the base word that basically means, you know, in dynamite. It's explosive. You're going to receive an explosive power. You're going to receive a power from above. You're going to receive the power that only God can give. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So not only is the you talking to them, but it would also be talking eventually to all those who hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and are convicted by the power of the Holy Ghost. So in a sense, he's talking to them, because obviously this has been written over 2,000 years ago, and he's telling them to go to Jerusalem. But in a sense, he's talking to all of us, because we're here seeing the importance of the Holy Ghost. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. So these particular individuals, these disciples, Jesus told them, look, I want you to receive power. So he tells them, right? He says, but when you receive this power, there's something that I want you to do when you are empowered. So that should be a lesson for us today. And if I had a small Bible study lesson, it would be ready. Be ready. So this power that Jesus is talking about is available to everybody. So if you may be listening to the sounds of my voice, you may be inquiring about this power. You want to know, how can I get some power like that? Well, this power, the power of the Holy Ghost, is still available. And so I want you to see what's going on. But Jesus didn't just stop there. Okay, there are some things going on. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. So far, they're doing everything that Jesus told them to do. Remember, if you look in, I believe it's the first through the fourth chapter book of Matthew, you read that Jesus was going around Galilee, and his only message was, follow me. Remember, follow me, follow me. So up to this point, they're doing exactly what Jesus is telling them to do. They're literally following him. So in his earthly ministry, if you wanted to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you literally had to not only obey his teachings, but you also had to follow him. Okay, so that was what he is preaching and teaching, talking about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God was at hand. You literally had to follow him. So up to this point, they're doing everything that he told them to do. But notice what's going on. Again, notice what these disciples are doing. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. So now Jesus Christ is actually ascending into heaven. I don't know how fast he was ascending into heaven. I don't know what, if he was going Mach speed. I don't know how many miles per hour. I'd like to think that he was slowly gravitating. He was slowly rising upward, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now notice what happens. And while they look steadfastly toward heaven. Okay, so look what they're doing. They're literally looking toward heaven, like many of us are today. They're doing everything that they know how to do. They're looking at Jesus Christ. They visibly see him. They visibly see his earthly image. They visibly see their Messiah. They visibly see this rabbi who would come to where they were and tell them to follow him. So they are doing everything. And now he is gravitating upward, and they're still looking at Jesus. But that is not the way that they are to continue to look at Jesus. Because if you notice in verse number 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Now, these men in white apparel, possibly angels. I can only go as far as the scriptures allow me to go. I believe that they were angels, but the Bible says that they were men in white apparel. And so these two men are about to tell the disciples something. Okay. And they say, let me go back Oh, I think I, there you go. Sorry about that. And they say, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Let me say that again. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Okay? So basically, they were trying to correct them. They were trying to intervene, and they're letting them know, look, you got to understand, you were led to a certain point. You're looking at Jesus. You're able to visibly see him. But up until now, now you have to follow him in a different way. Now you have to follow him in a better way. Remember what he told you. He said, I want you to receive power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And sadly, there are many, many in today's time who are trying and struggling to look at Jesus. They are trying to look at him in a certain way. But it's not the better way. It's not the right way. And some people only look at Jesus through a political way. And they only see Jesus as this social justice warrior. They only see him as a conservative. They only see him the way that they would want him to be seen. But that's not necessarily the way that Jesus wants you to look at him. He wants you to look at him through the eyes of obedience. And the only way that we can obey Jesus is we have to be ready. We have to be ready. And I know a lot of people just probably think that the only thing that I'm talking about when I say be ready, you might just say, well, Brother Pope is just talking about being ready for the rapture, being ready to be caught up, being ready to be caught away when the Lord comes for his saints, that when he comes back and those who are dead, shall be caught up, and those who are alive and remain should be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Well, that's not the only thing that I'm talking about when I say be ready. We need to be on alert, not just for rocket fuel to get on out of here, but we have to be ready to help other people. And see, it's twofold, and that's something that I'm really learning how, and I'm really realizing at this point that when the Lord gives us the power of the Holy Ghost, it's got like a twofold purpose. And let me go back to what I'm talking about. And so notice what Jesus says himself, but ye shall receive power. So where's that power going to come from? It's going to come from God, right? Because we're waiting on God. We're asking him for his spirit. We're waiting on him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we're waiting on the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And so we have to have a relationship with God. We have to know the one who we're calling, and his name is Jesus. And we have to ask him for his spirit. We have to believe on him who died for our sins, who is Jesus Christ. We have to believe on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we have to be waiting and asking him for his spirit, to who will lead us and guide us into all truth. But that's not the only purpose of the Holy Ghost. Notice what Jesus says. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So I say, we've got to be ready, not just to get out of here, not just to go up during a rapture, not just to make sure that we go up to see the Lord, but we got to be ready for our brothers and sisters. We got to be ready to be witnesses to the world. We have to be ready to give an account of the gospel message of Jesus Christ, which you and I have received. Isn't it a glorious time? Don't you know that you can be saved? God can save you. God can heal you. And why this is a pretty quick Bible study, I'm already 14 minutes in, but let me go on and read one more scripture. And it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2. And it reads, preach the word. So this is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. And I believe that some of this is exclusive for Timothy, because obviously Timothy was a preacher, and not everyone is a preacher. But notice what it says. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. But let's talk about that word, be instant, being instant. And so as we talk about being instant, if you notice here, I don't know if you can see it here, but I want to say right down here at number five here, the word being instant also means to be ready, or I'm sorry, to be present in readiness to discharge a task, fix one's mind on, be attentive to. Let's read that again. To be present in readiness to discharge a task, fix one's mind on, be attentive to. And so being ready has a lot to do with our mindset. Again, being ready has a lot to do with our mindset. It has a lot to do with having our mind stayed on Him, having our mind ready to work out that task, ready to be able to help someone else. So we're not just here just to help ourselves and to please ourselves and just to go to heaven, but we're also here to help one another. We're also here to help. We want the world to receive the gospel. We want the church to keep the gospel. We want to, we're there to help one another, but we're also there, we're also here to have this relationship with God. And so that's all I wanted to say today, and hopefully you're able to receive this, but it's all about being ready, being ready. It's all about being ready, not just when Jesus comes back, but let's be ready, being instant in season and out of season. So it's not just for, I don't believe this is just for preachers, although Timothy was talking to, I'm sorry, although the Apostle Paul was talking to Timothy, who was a preacher, but he's telling him, look, I want you to be instant in season. I want you to be ready. I want you to be present in readiness. I want you to be able to do tasks. I want you to fix your mind and be attentive, whether it's convenient or non-convenient, whether it's whatever's going on, I want you to be consistent. And so that's the message that I want to convey this evening, is to be ready. I want you to be instant. I want you to be, I want you to have your mind fixed on Jesus, not just so we can get out of here, although that's a good thing. We should be ready to go when He gets here, but I want us to all, I want to convey also that we should be ready to help one another. We should be there to help one another, be there to encourage one another. Let, you know, I don't want to be just that type of person when someone asks for prayer, and they said, Brother Pope, can you pray for me? I got you. I'm gonna put you on the list and then walk away. But I should be so full of the Spirit when somebody says, Brother Pope, can you pray for me? And I should be able to start a prayer right then and there. This is the type of Jesus I serve, the type of Jesus who turned his boat into a pulpit. He was very practical, and he met the people where they're at. You know, we just, you know, we're in this sin-sick world. Everybody's caught up and they're doing everything that they seem to be doing that's right in their own eyes. And I've really figured that there's a lot of people that have just fallen in love with their sins. They love disobeying God. They love rebelling against God. They love speaking against Him. They love speaking against His word. They love the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You know, and the lust of the flesh. They love those type of things. But not everybody who's in sin loves to remain in their sin. There are some people who desire to get out of their sin. There's some people who are sick and tired of being addicted to substances. You're addicted to methamphetamines. You're addicted to crack cocaine. You're addicted to even caffeine, addicted to nicotine, you're addicted to gambling, addicted, and you know that you don't want to be addicted, you want to stop it, but you don't know how to stop. That's who I'm talking to today. Somebody who, you're tired of being pushed around, you're tired of being oppressed by the devil. The devil has you, he won't let you go, but don't you know there's a way out? and that way is Jesus. God can save you from your sins. Don't you know that Jesus can save you? You just got to believe on him. Believe on Jesus. Believe that he died. Believe that he was buried for you, and he rose again on the third day, and he was resurrected, and he ascended up into heaven. Don't you know that same Jesus has given you the availability of the power of the Holy Ghost? So, you know, a lot of times we talk about sins, but we don't necessarily talk about the root of why certain people are in their sins. And I certainly believe this, and then I'll close. You know, I believe that a lot of people, let's say relationships. So there are some people who are, you know, in adulterous relationships. There are relationships, when we talk about adultery, that means, you know, someone has a marriage union and yet they've allowed a third party to enter in some form or fashion, and they're messing around with somebody who's not their wife or not their husband. That's adultery. When we talk about fornication, the Bible talks about fornication and how it's wrong, and how people, we call it premarital sex. Well, that's a person messing around and sleeping with somebody who's not your husband because you're not married yet. It's unmarried people doing these types of things. And you know, a lot of times I feel that we talk about these things, but we don't get to the root of it. And sometimes you might say, well, yeah, it is sin. It's wrong. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And sometimes we do these things because we lack closeness. Perhaps all your life you've felt lonely. Perhaps you had something going on in your childhood and you were lonely and you lacked intimacy. Maybe you craved intimacy. Maybe you craved some sort of closeness with this significant other. And because you craved that closeness so much, you tried to compensate for what you don't have, to the point where you're able to risk your own soul, to the point where it doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong anymore. You're like, whatever, because you want to place yourself in that relationship just so you can fulfill that fleshly craving that you have. But it's wrong. Oh, but it's wrong. You can be saved. You don't have to be addicted any longer. You don't have to be bound any longer by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. God can save you. There is a way out. You don't have to be addicted to crack cocaine, to methamphetamines, to any types of things. Don't you know that that high that you're chasing after, you know, I was always trained that high, that first high that you get, you know, you'll never attain to that high again. You'll always chase after it. Where the dopamine start to pop up, and that's where we get the terminology of dope from dopamines, and it begins to feel good to you, but it's wrong because so many people have gotten addicted. It's against the law. Not only it's against the law, but you're not thinking clearly. You're not thinking soberly. You weren't created for that. You are the temple. You were supposed to be the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Ghost, but you're misusing your temple. And perhaps you're craving that numbness because of all the things that are going on in your life. Maybe you've got a lot of turmoil, a lot of tribulation. Maybe there's a lot of family problems. Maybe there's dysfunction. Maybe your father wasn't around growing up, and maybe your mother wasn't around growing up. Maybe both of them were not around growing up, and you sense some sort of closeness, and so you've embraced some sort of drug because you realize that it seems to numb the situation. Oh, let me tell you, it's such a wrong move, because then when it stops, it's only temporary, and you still crave more and more, and you never quite catch up to that first high. You never quite catch up, as I've been told, to where you were previously, and you're just chasing something that really isn't there. You have received a delusion, and don't you know there's a better way? I've seen folks addicted to crack cocaine. They'll do anything for that stuff. They'll cheat, lie, cheat, and steal for it. It doesn't matter whether you're family or not. I've seen folks completely do things out of the ordinary. You know that's not of God. You know that's sin, and you know that God will forgive you from it if you ask God and for forgiveness and if you repent of that thing. But you got to understand the wages of sin is death. You're heading in the wrong direction. You have to be ready. And the only way to be ready is you have to believe on Him. Who's Him? You have to believe on the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have to believe on Jesus, His death, burial, and resurrection. Don't you believe that? Well, you got, not only do you have to believe that, but now you have to respond to the gospel by being baptized in His name for the remission of sins, the removal of sins. He will remove and forgive every one of the sins that you've ever done. And then you can call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. You shall be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. You just call on Him and He'll bless you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then you'll have power to live right, power to walk right. And you'll have the power, that same power that the Lord spoke of before He left His earthly ministry. And so am I picking on people today who may be having some issues, maybe having some problems, maybe you're in sin. Am I picking on you today? Oh, that's not my intention. My intention is I want you to be saved. Don't you want to be saved? Don't you want to be released from that bondage today? That's what it is. It's bondage. You know that you're not happy like that. And even if you say, well, Brother Pope, I am happy. Well, let me ask you, don't you see that it's temporary? Don't you see that it fades away? And, you know, that pleasure of the flesh only lasts for a little while and then it's gone. And, you know, you only have one soul. Why not look into the things of Jesus Christ? Why not give it your all? I'm telling you, it'll change your life. He'll change your life. Be ready. You can be ready. You can be ready. It is possible to be ready. And the Lord wants to save you. The Lord wants to use you. The Lord loves you. Does he? Well, you don't know where I've been, Brother Pope. I've cheated. I've robbed. I've stolen. I've harmed this person. I've harmed that person. I understand all that. But the grace of God and the power of God is greater than any and all of that. It's mind-boggling to how much the Lord loves you and loves me. So let's be ready. Let's be ready again so that when the Lord comes back for the church, you can go back with Him when He comes back for us. And when He comes back for the church, and not only to be ready for Him, but also be ready to help our brothers and sisters in the church, to encourage one another. Let's tell everybody about the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, in my closing, because I said that a few minutes ago, why not start with our everyday, practical, day-to-day tasks? If we're going to the store, why not remind the cashier? Why not remind somebody that the Lord loves you? Why not tell them, you know, God bless you? Why not incorporate Jesus Christ everywhere we go? That's the start of it. And then once we begin taking Him everywhere we go, we take Him to the grocery store with us. We bring the Spirit of God with us. Remember, the Spirit of God is with us anyway, but why not display the power of the Holy Ghost? The Lord will allow opportunities for us to display His goodness. Don't you want to be saved? Don't you want to be delivered from that sin? The Lord will bless you. The Lord will clean you up. Maybe you have a cursing spirit and you try to stop cussing and you can't stop cussing. Well, the Lord can clean you up. But I slip all the time. I slip. Oh, no, you didn't slip. Jesus said what comes out from a man's mouth comes from his heart. And so you may say, well, I slip, but that stuff was in your heart already. But if the Lord cleans you up and gives you a new heart, everything that you say will be better and blessed and blessed and blessed. You know, you can't, a cistern can't display blessings and cursing. It can't be bitter and sweet. And so let's say sweet things. Let's say good things. Let's encourage one another. I don't want to talk about anybody. You know, I want to lift people up. And okay, I'm about to cut it off right now. It's about a half an hour. It's probably further than I wanted to go. Hopefully the audio on this went pretty well. Hopefully there wasn't any disruption in the video. I know that I saw it speed up and slow down a little bit. Hopefully it exacted itself. But I just want to let you know that you can be ready. That's right, brothers and sisters, you can be ready. You can be ready. You can be ready when he comes back for the church. You don't have to put your head down. You don't have to wonder, what's going to happen. You can be ready. You can see him as he is. Oh, excuse me. You can see him as he is, and you'll be ready to go back with him when he comes back for the church. So God bless you. I hope you enjoyed what's been said this evening. Let's look at Jesus the way that he intended. Now we have to get the Holy Ghost. We have to follow him that way. And to do anything else other than follow him through the Spirit is outside the will of God. You have to follow God through the Spirit now. And anything outside of that, I'm not just talking about exclusively politically or exclusively in any other ways other than following Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Ghost. God bless you. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready.